Nick Kiprios will be a big part of that, insider analyst for the NHL on Sportsnet, and he joins the starting lineup right now. How many July 1s, I know it was July 5th a few years ago, how many July 1s is this for you now?
Oh.
What anniversary is this for you?
Like, right off the gate, you're...
I know, math.
I would say, I don't know, like, we didn't do one early in, when we launched back at CTV, but
yeah.
I got to think we're around 15.
Oh, there's still maybe a cake. On Saturday.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, cake. Who's baking that?
Well, I think more, if this is at your cottage, aren't more people watching than just, I know they spent a lot of money on that Front Street set, but you could make it homey. There could be like a fire by the time dusk settles and like, you know, six defensemen are going somewhere for 2 years at 1.6 on the cap. That could happen. We'd want to see that.
If you haven't been invited and I haven't been invited, do you think Nick wants to invite everyone?
Camera people? No,
yeah,
I do not.
Yeah. The campfire will be out a few times before we see maybe a significant signing. Every year it kind of dwindles like a long fire. So I Shattenkirk, we always said trade deadline that this would be the biggest name out there in free agency, and then he kind of fizzled in the playoffs a little bit. But we know someone's going to overpay him. But outside of that. Every year, the top players sign somehow long-term deals, and teams aren't allowing these guys to get to July 1st. And it, we used to call it free agent frenzy, and I don't know, we may need another name.
And yet 2 years ago, you get the news of the Kessel trade. That was business that was almost completed at the draft, but Pittsburgh really held out. They didn't want to give up one of their elite younger blue liners, and that got done early afternoon. So there could be some ramifications of stuff left over from Chicago, Nick, that end up getting done Friday night or Saturday when teams are looking at building rosters.
Yeah, Duchesne's a name that Colorado's been trying to push for a long time, Galchenyuk. But again, I don't necessarily see July 1st being this be-all, end-all kind of date. They can do this all summer. The issue was not getting the price that they wanted. Duchesne, as Joe Sakic said, could easily start the season with the Avs. So I don't see any pressing need now for teams to push now early this summer to lock up their rosters.
Nick, we were chatting a little bit earlier about the report that Elliot had yesterday, obviously with Connor McDavid and 13-plus million, 8 years, et cetera. And Greg was raising the point about, at any point, do you think that there's any criticism that gets pointed towards Connor McDavid for signing for that large amount if it ultimately impacts the Oilers' inability to sign other guys to bigger deals and to manage the money in a $75-ish million dollar cap?
Yeah, and what did Elliot say?
There may be, yeah.
Oh, yeah, 100%, without a doubt. And this contract's totally based on the fact that the salary cap's going to move up another $2 million or $3 million a year, every year, for the next 8 years. And if that's the case, I think he's okay. But it's such a flawed cap, right? It's such a flawed cap now, because now it's either you're getting big money for future potential, which Connor is, right? We all assume he's going to win an MVP every year and lead the team in scoring. And there's no question that he deserves every penny of it. The question is, what does it do for him moving forward? And when I say that it's flawed, it's just not McDavid, but it's a lot of teams getting pinned on getting through these UFA years at such an early age. And sometimes the guys that deserve it, in my era, you got it after you put together, you know, a pretty good resume. And then at 30 years of age, if you were fortunate enough, you get a nice contract at the end of your career. That's the way the Stars did it, and that was almost payment for past performance. But it's flipped now. So now Connor should be a sure bet at 13, over $13 million. But again, it's just not, it's not what Connor deserves. It's how it leaves the rest of the team. And in the old days, you know, without a salary cap, the $13 million a year would pull everybody up. Now his $13 million, if the cap doesn't move, it pushes everybody down. And all he did now was take probably more money that Leon Draisaitl wanted. And that's, you know, it's funny because in 2004, everybody, when there was a lockout, everybody, all the fans were sitting there going, yeah, cap, no, just nobody understood the cap. It's just they should have a cap, and, you know, these guys should not be making all this money, and just get a cap. Now here we are in 2017, fans are really understanding what the cap does to their team. And all of a sudden now, Connor McDavid, who, you know, every grandmother would love Connor McDavid, now is seen as maybe a bit of a villain if the cap doesn't go up, because they're starting to understand how this thing works. And it's like, you know, if he takes too much, there's not enough for everybody else, and then the team gets weaker and we can't win. Now, all of a sudden, now in 2017, fans are starting to understand that this thing is it's flawed a little bit. But again, if the cap goes up, Connor's fine. But if it doesn't, people are going to accuse him for being too greedy.
Does it do anything to influence a sticker price, Nick, for Carey Price, in the sense that now Carey's a much older player and it's a different position, but people are of two minds here. They're either, it's going to be ultimately up to Carey Price if he wants to finish his career in Montreal.
Yeah.
It's a Western guy. And given what they went through so publicly with Subban and Molson and Bergevin two summers ago, yeah, do they look at a scenario where they Carey's got them by the short hairs him for what he wants?
And Connor had him by the short ones, and Matthew has him by the short ones, and Marner will have him by the short ones. And that's what I don't like. Like a cap, if you want to have a cap, that's fine, have a cap, but not this particular cap, where it just holds the teams completely hostage to overpay, right? And that's what's bad, is that, like, Montreal has no choice. They can't let Carey Price in 2 years walk. You know, you can't, because you've already, you know, you got to revisit the PK Subban thing and say, okay, listen, you know, we like Shea Weber, but that deal was not favorable for us. We know that. So now Carey Price, and 2 years ago it would have been pay him whatever he wants, but, you know, with the injuries the last year and then the lull during the season, now you're sitting there going, okay, I mean, you can't just throw him $10 million, $11 million.
But he's going to ask for that, isn't he?
I would imagine he's going to.
Yeah.
But, you know, like, again, if the cap doesn't go up, it can be devastating and crippling, and Chicago's paying the price for it right now with two guys at $10.5 million. And the only reason why it truly, truly worked in Chicago is because Duncan Keith signed one of the worst contracts ever, and then they got Marian Hossa, who signed a 12-year deal. And when he signed the 12-year deal, we knew he wasn't playing the last few years.
Not a
chance.
$1 million
a year. We knew that.
Yeah.
We knew they were throwaway years. So that was the reason why Chicago had that flexibility to win a few cups. But this won't happen. This will not happen for the Edmonton Oilers in another 3 or 4 years. They will not have that flexibility. If the cap doesn't move up and they end up getting locking in Draisaitl for $10 million, they've really got to win in the next 2 or 3 years. They got to win in 2 or 3 years, because all of a sudden you look and it's almost $30 million for Draisaitl, McDavid, and Lucic. $30 million for three guys when the cap is 75. Hey, boys, here's the rest of your scrap.
Yeah, good luck. Everyone else is playing for $800,000.
Now, Nick, to that point, you touched on it a little bit, obviously, with Matthews and Marner. The Leafs are going to be potentially in a similar situation with all their youth and trying to lock them all up. What does the league think about this? Because, I mean, from a league perspective, we always talk in any sport about wanting to see guys stay with teams and not have movement and et cetera.
No, I don't think they really care about that.
Really?
Yeah. No. Listen, the owners, they're in the best shape, right? Because it's all cost certainty. It's 50%. You guys can't get over 50%. And when you do, you stroke us a nice escrow check back. Okay, that's our guarantee that you're only getting 50%. If you're Gary Bettman and the owners, I don't care. I don't care. Here's the money, and you know this is what they really should do. They should set their budget, whatever it is, each team. You know, you want to be at the floor, you want to be at the cap, you stick it in the dressing room, right? Big pile of money, and you say, you guys figure it out. All I know is it's not a penny more than what I say, and that's what the beauty of the salary cap is for the owners. The players should sit there and divvy it up. Wouldn't that be fun to watch? You want a reality show? Stick $60 million in the Edmonton Oilers dress room and have all the guys figure out who deserves the most money. Right?
And somehow involve like a live shark, like Michael Phelps.
And then have Connor McDavid say, listen, I still want my 13.5.
Yeah,
Leon,
you
should take 7.5. 7.5? You think you're $5 million better than me? that unfortunately is what's happening in NHL dressing rooms behind the scenes, is that, you know, they're like brothers on the ice, and we've seen it, man. They'll protect each other, but then when money comes into play a little bit, unfortunately, in all of our society, when money's in play, either coworkers in the office, when they kind of find out someone is making a little bit more than them, and they're not doing as much work, or they're, you know, it causes dissension.
They never pay for coffee. I mean, I'm not implicating Doug McLean in any.
You get that all the time.
Yeah. Tons. Yeah. That's why I buy it all the time now. Right. We got a blast, Nick. Have a good show on Saturday. We'll all be watching from wherever we are. There'll be televisions on beaches all throughout Canada.
Yeah.
Tuned into you guys.
No, Eric, does Greg know that you make more money than him on this show?
Per Raptors game, yes. Wait, what a sore subject that is.
What do you know that I don't?
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks,
Have
Nick.
A good one, guys.